Hi, my name is Simon Soje. This is my beautiful wife, Katrina. We've been married for 12 years, and we've got three kids. Our daughter, Carson, 7.5. Our son, Cannon, is 5.5. And Case is 2, almost 3 in February. To tell you a little bit about myself, I grew up in a family with both parents and four siblings, happily married, Christian home. We all loved each other, never had a lot of drama. Our parents raised us in the faith. We regularly read the Bible and discussed it as a family. But when it came to dating specifically, I was very clueless. I bought the lies that Hollywood tells you about how you just know when it's true love. And since I only dated two girls prior to meeting Katrina, I never really gained the experience necessary to dissuade me of these myths. So this led me to overcommit way too quickly because if this is the one, you know, then go all in. And I didn't really seek a friendship first. So I also sought personal validation through someone liking me, which always led to massive unmet expectations and disappointment on my part.
I had a very opposite family experience. I grew up with both of my parents and one older brother, but my family was not close. I had a volatile relationship with my mom through high school, and my dad just sat back and watched the family life happen around him as he worked many hours and became a world-famous economist. That was kind of what he cared about most. I knew he cared about me, but he never showed me any emotion or affection. He's never told me he loved me. He's never kissed me. He gives me awkward side hugs. That's about as close as we get to hugging. Thankfully, though, our merciful Lord found me amidst the internal and external chaos that ruled my life. And during my senior year of high school, I realized that I was definitely a sinner and really needed a savior. I accepted Jesus into my life. However, I desperately needed guidance and discipleship to stay on the right path, but both of my parents are atheists, so I didn't get any support and encouragement at home and had a hard time making wise choices. My dating life was pretty pathetic, as you can imagine. I had one boyfriend after another from 14 to 18, and sadly, not a single one of them was a believer. And I derived all my self-worth from my relationships. When I first met Simon in college, spiritually I was in a better place. We were both leading a Bible study at our church during our sophomore year, and Simon asked me out after a football game one Saturday night by saying, "I like you. I think you like me. Is this true?" He is an engineer, so I guess that's how that goes. I responded, "Yes," and then Simon said, "Well, what do you want to do about it?" It was very romantic. Simon then vowed to love God first and me second, and let me remind you that we had only known each other for 3 weeks. I was completely weirded out and could not believe that he had just used the L word so soon. But this was my first time to ever date a guy who is a believer, so I just assumed that this is what your average define the relationship talk looked like.
It is, right? Isn't that how y'all did it? No? Okay. So our relationship was always dramatic and rocky. The drama started because I realized I didn't really want to date anyone seriously. I just wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And so this self-centered, self-serving attitude often played out as my heart overflowed into my speech. I looked for some reason I was unhappy and unsatisfied in the relationship. And because I wasn't really willing to pin it on myself, I would inevitably find some flaw in Katrina to pick at. Like, if you were just more this way or did this thing, we wouldn't be having these problems. And so, you know, my careless and critical words caused deep wounds in Katrina's heart and many times took us on the brink of breaking up. But neither one of us wanted to see the relationship fail, so we would patch it up and keep going, but we would never really address the issues.
And even though as a believer, I still struggled with finding my significance in whom I was dating. So as a result, I never broke up with Simon, despite the fact that he didn't treat me very well. He definitely wasn't my Prince Charming that I thought I deserved, and it was crushing to my pride. So I vowed to change his opinion of me instead of ending an unhealthy relationship.
So to try and mend all the hurt I'd caused her, because I felt bad, I would tell Katrina as a Band-Aid how strongly I felt about her. And it was really, I was overstating it. So I would tell her, "Hey, I really like spending time with you. Hey, I love you. Hey, I want to spend our future together," et cetera. And I really liked her reaction. And so every time when I went back, it's like, you can't say what you said last time. You've got to go higher. You got to up the ante, right? And so it wasn't long before my mouth was writing checks and my heart couldn't cash. And believe it or not, this eventually led to us getting engaged because it was like, hey, the only next thing is, will you marry me? So
our engagement was a nightmare. We got engaged after 8 months of dating. He was 19 and I was 20 when we got engaged. And as you can imagine, he immediately got cold feet. Suddenly, I felt like he wanted nothing to do with me. I planned the entire wedding by myself, and anything I tried to get him involved in would turn into a major argument. However, I felt like breaking off the engagement would be embarrassing. And in the back of my mind, even though this sounds strange, I kind of felt like we were together for a purpose. My parents really liked him, and I liked that they liked him, and I liked that they were drawn to him. So as strange that may seem, I stuck with him, even though I knew he did not want to get married. He even tried to postpone the wedding, but I told him, you either marry me when you said you would, or we don't get married at all.
So on December 29th, 2001, we were married in a joyous ceremony. I was 20 and she was 21. It was the middle of our junior year at Texas A&M. As we drove away from the reception, I saw tears running down her cheeks. And in an oddly compassionate way, I reached over and I squeezed her leg and I just said, I know. Because I did know she did not want to be married to me.
He is right. I was bawling. I knew what had happened. I was so sad. When we got back from the honeymoon, I realized that my old life was gone. I was no longer living in my big apartment with my 5 best girlfriends. I was living in a tiny dump of an apartment with a guy I didn't even like. We had no community. All of our old friends were still single. We had no one to even talk to about our struggles. And so we suffered in isolation. I sought to ease the pain through the excitement of chatting with an old boyfriend online. It never turned into anything physical, but it was definitely inappropriate. And even though we loved the Lord, there was no spiritual oneness in our marriage. There were some good days when we'd have fun going to go get donuts or go to the bookstore, but mostly we continued to disappoint each other through our unmet and unspoken expectations. I remember sitting on the floor of our apartment, kicking the door and screaming, I wish we could get a divorce. During the entirety of our relationship, we both knew Jesus, and honestly, it protected us from things getting much, much worse. But we had no spiritual oneness, and we were not seeking him together as a couple. We were both operating from a very self-centered perspective.
After 6 months of a really miserable marriage, when we were both in school, doing classes and trying to make a hard situation work, I was about at the end of my rope. I remember I was sitting at my desk, I'll never forget, trying to think up... I was scheming some way to manipulate Katrina into loving me the way I wanted her to love me. You know, maybe it was just like, give me a hug or like, you know, say something affirming to me or whatnot. I was trying to figure out some way to almost trick her into doing that when I realized how messed up I was acting. I think God let me step back and take like an objective look at myself, like outside of myself, because I realized if someone were treating me the way that I was planning to treat Katrina, I wouldn't want to be close to that person at all. And after I realized that, like, God just kept peeling back the onion, and I realized that all of my efforts to make Katrina do what I wanted her to do were completely selfish and completely fruitless. Like, not a single one of them had the desired fruit. And I realized that I was pushing her away and destroying my marriage, and God just broke me. I said to him, God, I'm done doing things my way. It's completely ineffective. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I've got nothing to lose.
Soon after that, we graduated and we moved to Dallas, and I confessed to Simon that I didn't think we were meant to be together and that he was not my Prince Charming. He said to me that we were actually meant to be together because we were married, and God's plan for us was to stay together because he hates divorce.
Engineer.
And after that, I realized that I had not been all in ever. I had been focusing on my unmet expectations and not on being the wife that God wanted me to be. I wanted to be happy instead of to be made holy, and I made a commitment that day to work hard on loving Simon.
After God showed me kind of how selfish I was being, he started to show me what it meant to trust in him, right? Not in the marriage, not in my wife, but trusting in God. And I want to share Philippians 2:3-4 with you. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. That just tells me if I'm not going to look at my own interests, I'm trusting God to take care of my interests. So now I'm free to take care of somebody else's interests, which was realizing that I was trusting God, not trusting her to pay me back, right? I no longer tried to use words to manipulate Katrina, but instead tried to use them to build her up. And I no longer sought just to win fights, but to seek unity through conflict resolution. I began to ignore the hurtful comments she made for the sake of hearing the hurt that was actually in her heart.
God gave me a heart to follow Simon and to support him in a desire to have a strong marriage. He matured me, and it's not about being right and winning. It's about having peace. It's about striving to meet my spouse's needs. He just gave me a right perspective on my responsibilities as a wife and the weight of those responsibilities in front of a watching world. Since we've been in Dallas, we've been plugged in to Watermark, and we've gotten involved. With a group of believers who are all seeking to have stronger relationships with the Lord and stronger marriages. We can't hide our bad behavior in isolation anymore. We have confidence in knowing that if we get too far off track, someone will notice that we're not doing well, and they'll call us out on it. And we are constantly learning from other couples as they love each other well and work through the same issues that we are working through. God has given us such a passion for his power in marriage that now Simon and I are leading foundation groups of newly married couples here at Watermark, where we get the opportunity to pour in young married couples and help them get a good start and hopefully avoid some of the pain that we suffered through living in isolation for the first few years of marriage.
Here are three ways that Katrina would say, I've changed in our marriage. I used to be offended if Katrina poked fun at me, laughed at something that happened to me, like if I put the milk on top of the fridge instead of in the fridge, or if I fell off the treadmill at the gym, true story. But now I laugh too, and we just laugh together. We laugh with each other, and we have so much more fun together. We have inside jokes, and I don't take life so seriously. Another thing, I used to let Katrina handle hurt all by herself. Our miscarriage, when she thought she was miscarrying our second child. But now I encourage her to express her fears. I pray for her daily, and I know what's going on in her world. I make it my concern. Third thing, I used to only care about sex, how to get it, when I could get it, how many times I could get it, etc. I did not care about her. And by no means do we have it all figured out, but we're striving towards a sex life that's focused on loving the other person first and not just getting our own needs met.
And here's a couple ways Simon would say I've grown. I used to struggle with admiring and respecting him, and now I try to let him know how much I love him, appreciate his hard work for our family, publicly praise him so that there's no question is mine, that I'm thankful he's my husband. And I used to be very frustrated by Simon's lack of follow-through and leadership, but now we've become a better team. I like to fill in the gaps. If time management is his problem, then I will help him and keep him on track. And I like to think that I'm like his executive assistant. My spiritual gifts equip him to lead our family really well. And just to let you know, like, we're not perfect. We don't have this all figured out. We've probably argued like 4 times in the last week and a half, and about leadership and about, you know, just this kind of stuff. But we're committed to resolving it, asking for forgiveness, not letting Satan get in and like wreck us. And so, you know, we just want to let you know, like, it's still hard sometimes and we still struggle with these things, but we're committed and we're committed to each other.
And committed to laying our hearts bare before the Lord and letting him do work on us. I love that I don't have to have all the answers for how to make my marriage work. All I have to do is read God's word and do what it says, and he'll take over from there. In closing, I want to share Matthew 6:33-34. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When I read that, I think to myself, don't worry about tomorrow. It's going to have its own worries, right? When my marriage seems overwhelming and hopeless, take it one day at a time, one decision at a time, and choose to trust God step by step, because he's faithful. So,
thank you very much.
Yep, thanks for having us.